I'm David Martin Davies, and this is The Source on KSTX, and we're going to be talking about zombies.
At this hour, we repeat, these are the facts as we know them. There is an epidemic of mass murder.
It can be stopped by removing the head or destroying the brain.
The murders are taking place in villages, cities.
How do we know they're coming?
They're coming.
I will repeat that by removing the head or destroying the brain.
Look at the face. It's vacant with a hint of sadness. Like a drunk who's lost a bet.
This is a montage of different zombie films. One of them you may recognize is Night of the Living Dead, the iconic George Romero film that brought zombies to life on the silver screen and breathed new life into them. And so we're going to be talking about zombies. And this is not a frivolous, self-indulgent topic. This, you know, zombies really mean something. Why has our society become so fascinated with the fantasy that 99% of the world's population overnight becomes brain dead and brain hungry? And now somehow it's infected our collective imagination. Why? What Freudian wish fulfillment are we acting out when we have these zombie institutions? So there are zombie movies, there are video games, there are parties, zombie books, the 5K runs that have zombies involved. So we're going to be talking about zombies and what it means when we kill a zombie. We're being joined by Rob Zombie Weiner, actually just Rob Weiner, and he's the popular culture librarian at Texas Tech University. And Rob, are you there?
I am here. I also teach a class on zombie culture.
I teach a class on zombie culture. We were just talking about why universities are so expensive, and I think you just kind of helped us out on that. So the number to call, I'm joking, the number to call is 614-8980, 614-8980. If you've got an idea, a notion, some question, a comment about why zombies are or what they are, why they're so big in our culture. So Rob Weiner at Texas Tech, I mean, tell us what you teach when you teach zombie culture.
Well, we teach a number of things. We look at zombies in history. We look at the zombie in literature. We, of course, we mainly focus on the history of zombie in film. You know, what does the zombie mean? How do you define a zombie? Is there a definitive way to define a zombie? I would argue there really isn't. That there are categories of zombies. You know, why are we so obsessed with zombies? I'm not sure I have a definitive answer for that. I have some ideas. What does it mean? What can we learn from zombies? Why are they popular? Why does the CDC have a zombie prevention plan? Why do stores have zombie guns that you can buy? You know, those kinds of things are what we talk about. Why are they prevalent in popular culture? What's the difference? You know, why can you go to a store and buy a zombie gun and yet, you know, you don't? Why does the CDC have a zombie prevention plan but they don't have a vampire prevention plan? You know, is it because the zombie is the most realistic of all, you know, sort of monsters? You know, and of course they are, in some sense. You know, the zombie could happen. You know, it's not beyond the realm of possibility.
Well, it is to me. I don't believe that zombies could happen. I mean, that we would have, you know, people who are dead walking around and trying to devour me.
I really don't either, but you know, obviously somebody does, and you know, this, you know, it's gone all the way to the, you know, Center for Disease Control, and we've got, you know, the whole thing about what happened a while back with the bath salts and the guy in Florida eating the homeless man. You know, it was saying that, you know, his behavior was very zombie-like and all of that. And so, you know, people are arguing they're already here. We have World War Z coming up this weekend.
But that just goes to the point, okay, we really don't have zombies. They're not here. But there is this fascination with it where sometimes art creeps over into reality and people are imitating or they're trying to bring it to make it real. But why what is it about zombies and not robots or not vampires or any other cultural fictional item? And so here we have another multi-million dollar film coming out, World War Z, based on a very successful book about zombies. And here we are again. There's certain other aspects of the zombie fantasy. One of them is about the complete breakdown of the social structure. You know, we have in popular culture. Also, we describe zombies are people who have a fanatical devotion, mindless devotion to authority figures. And so I wonder if there's any carryover between those two things.
Well, I think, you know, I think there is to some extent, and I think it has to do with it. The zombie, in some sense, represents the sort of chaotic world that we live in, and I'm not sure why we're attracted to it, because if you look at it, I mean, are zombies very attractive?
No, they smell bad.
They're gross.
And
they're ugly. They smell bad. You know, The Walking Dead is really popular, but I would argue that The Walking Dead is nothing more than All My Children with zombies thrown in. You know, I understand from a horror fan's viewpoint why, you know, zombies are popular, and George Romero and directors like Lucio Fulci and of course there's the voodoo zombie, which may have some factual basis to it. I don't know. I've never seen one, but there's certainly a lot of writings about that some argue have truth to them. You know, but it is strange to me. But one of the things that I always point out that we can learn from zombies that is a positive thing is that zombies can teach us to think for ourselves. Because what does a zombie want to do? It wants to make you one of them, right? By biting them. Is that a good thing? No, it's not. It wants to make you follow the crowd. Maybe following the crowd's not a good thing. Maybe you should think for yourself and make up your own mind. So that's what I argue, you know, on the first day of class, that zombies can teach us to think critically about things and use our brains instead of eating our brains, using zombies to use our brains.
Right, so this whole thing about brains and zombies, okay? So this seems like zombies are a representative of the anti-intellectual masses, and they want to... And it's anti-intellectual goals that they pursue.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have heard the phrase that somebody's acting like a zombie, which means they're, you know, being stupid. They're not thinking. They're going on impulse and instinct, and that's not a good thing, right? And so, you know, you can twist that around and use the zombie as a metaphor for the opposite. To think critically and to look at things a little differently, and you're exactly right. On the other hand, I think one of the reasons, and the zombie expert Matt Moog talks about this, that zombies are popular is because anyone can be one. The zombie doesn't care whether you're what race you are, what sexual orientation, you know, whether you're disabled in any way. You know, anyone can be one. They're all inclusive.
All right, so zombies don't discriminate. Okay, we're going to get back to this conversation in just a minute. We're going to go to the phone lines as well. Call in at 614-8980. What do you think about zombies? Why is our society fascinated by them? This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back.
Is it really fast?
No.
Do you eat it on Sundays?
Hey!
Hold on, guys.
Daddy, be careful on the road.
Jerry?
Get back to your car right now!
Come on, we're getting out of here.
We've lost the East Coast.
Honey,
China's dark.
What is this?
We don't know.
World War Z is the latest blockbuster to come out of Hollywood that talks about zombies, the possibility that there's some mass pandemic and society breaks down, and Brad Pitt's the hero, and we'll see what goes on from there. We're talking about zombies. You can join the conversation, 614-8980. We're joined by Rob Weiner. He is a professor over at University of Texas at Texas Tech University, and he teaches a course on zombie culture. And we're going to go to the phones. If you want to join the conversation, talk about zombies, what they mean, why do you think they're important? Are you sick of zombies? Can we move on to some other monster to be afraid of? 614-8980. Martin has been waiting. Martin, welcome to The Source.
Hey, thank you. I don't really have a question, but more like a comment. And it was a good question that was brought up, is why aren't we so much fascinated with vampires anymore? And I hang around with a lot of horror friends, horror fanatic friends that just go to every single horror movie. And it seems like there's the change to zombies is a change in the general zeitgeist. Like, when people were obsessed about vampires, it was in the 90s, was very big with Anne Rice. And it seemed like they were concerned about the monster inside themselves and individuals, while zombies are more about the collective monster on the outside. And I think you guys already touched base on it. It's like the societal norms and mass consumer culture is a good, you know, metaphor that you could use with zombies in describing your individuality versus all the forces around you. And I just wanted to throw out that comment and see what you guys could do with that.
Martin, those are good comments, well articulated. We appreciate that. And so Robert Reiner from the Texas Tech, what do you think about that?
Well, yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. And the first thing that came to my mind when you were talking, Martin, was the Borg from Star Trek, you know. They're the zombies of the Star Trek universe in a lot of ways, and the whole collective hive sort of mind, you know, and zombies' instinct. They want to bite you for whatever reason, whether it's for, you know, to stop their pain, for instinct, whatever variation in whatever movie, to make you one of them, you know, they're gonna get you one way or the other, whether they're fast zombies, slow zombies, you know, a part of a body that wants to get you, that's still, you know, jumping around or what.
So let me ask you this, Robert. So here we are we're talking about zombies and trying to figure out what that means. Is this time well spent? I mean, we have to examine. I remember the movie It's Invasion of the Body Snatchers, and that was is now seen as a very significant allegory about Cold War culture. And is that true today? I mean, will we look back in the future on zombies and be able to have a better idea of why they were so significant today?
Oh, I think so. I mean, an Invasion of the Body Snatchers certainly has significance in the history of zombie cinema as well. Even though, to some extent, you know, some people argue for Body Snatchers is an allegory for communism and you know, again, the collective mind, not thinking for yourself, and that's a timeless issue. Even today, with the, you know, upsurge of books like 1984 starting to sell again, and people questioning what's going on in the culture, and zombies are a great way of doing that and getting people, like I said, to think for themselves. You know, right. In addition to, you know, the horror fans and liking it just because it's a part of the genre, you know, even as someone who teaches zombies and likes, you know, and studies the horror genre, I'll be honest with you, I'm kind of sick of it. I mean, I'm flabbergasted that we have zombie Santa Clauses and zombie children's books and zombie, you know, pets. And, you know, I have a zombie teddy bear that somebody gave me, you know, in my office. And my class filled up in 45 minutes. I mean, that's just crazy.
All right, so Robert, we're going to go on to we're going to keep going with phone calls. We've got Derek wants to join us. Derek, welcome to The Source.
Hi, this is Eric.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
So I just thought to note that zombies, along the horror genre, are really the only dangerous creature out there that we potentially can fight against. You know. And it's also the post-apocalyptic nature of survival that I think really, you know, entices people. This is about people thinking for themselves, having the ability to reason out without the resources that they would normally be available to them. You know, that's why, you know, the gun or the survival bags and all that kind of stuff. And you notice it's not just zombies that are driving this survival instinct. There's a lot of shows out right now that talk about the end of times, or, you know, some kind of natural disaster, and how you could survive.
So these preppers types. Okay.
Exactly. It's the same. along the same kind of idea of how you would survive a zombie attack.
All right, Eric, good call. So he is bringing up the fact that there's a dystopian future that's being propelled out there that many people, particularly our young people, are not don't see a very positive outcome with what way things are going right now and the trend, you know, exhaustion of our natural resources, global warming, other things that could happen to the society and the center cannot hold. And maybe this is just a way to act out that fantasy. Robert?
Oh, I certainly agree with that totally. And as I mentioned before, the spike in sales of 1984, Cormac McCarthy's The Road, the movie came out a couple of years ago. We have weapons, as we know, that can, you know, blow up the earth, many times over. It's not beyond the realm of possibility that we could end up in a very negative future.
Right, but past generations have been more positive. Okay, let's take a look at the 60s and 70s. You know, the fantasies were like of Star Trek, which was much more, you know, we're able to solve our differences and conquer the solar system and be explorers and peace bringers. It was not the dystopian future.
Well, but we also, had films like THX and
talking about something that grabs hold of the mass culture.
So
it becomes a phenomenon.
We did, but you know, a lot of the young people are coming up today. They're cynical. You know, they're worried about getting a job. They're worried about being replaced by machines. Technology is changing things at such a rapid pace, and if you look at history, there's always been a correlation between technology and chaos, and we're at a point now where we just can't keep up. I mean, it's almost
sure.
I don't know if it's doubling every day, but it's probably doubling every minute.
You're talking about the coming singularity. Let me bring Javier in on the conversation. He's a caller. So, Javier, welcome to The Source.
Hi. Thanks a lot for taking my call.
All right. So, thanks. Go ahead.
My comment is about what the previous caller talked about, where, you know, there is a major change in society when there's hypothetically a zombie attack. And I guess that, for me, is one of the biggest things that interests me in the zombie genre, because I was in New York City during September 11th. And I remember when, after the attack, I walked out my door, because I was living on 34th and 9th with my brother Marcus at a one-bedroom apartment and stuff. And I saw people with suits. I saw people that worked in delis. I saw homeless people all had the same look on their face, like, oh, my God, our world has changed. My reality has changed, you know? And you had really two different kind of people. You had the people who just stayed there in complete shock and didn't know what to do. And you had people running around saying, we got to get some water. We don't know how long we're going to be here. Because I remember they would talk about maybe they were going to quarantine the island and all this other stuff. So going back to the zombie kind of genre, that right there for me would really gets me. Because when I read books like World War Z by Max Brooks and watch other films, when they hit upon that dystopian / you know, the reality has changed, I can feel it, you know, because I was there, you know, and that really for me is what really gets me, interested in the genre. Not really about the zombies, how they, you know, are eating brains or whatever, but more to the fact that if something like that would ever happen, you know, people's realities would really just stop. You know, because, I mean, I remember hearing stories about people staying in their apartments in New York City for months because they did not want to leave that apartment because that apartment was their reality. The outside had changed.
All right,
and I know that there's so many things like that. So, yes.
Good comments, because I think there's a famous photograph of like a businessman wearing a suit just coming out of the ash cloud completely covered, and he could pass. He could see he was in trauma. The psychic numbing had hit him. I mean, he could pass for a zombie. I mean, Javier brings up a great point about this. Maybe it is a reaction to the 9/11. Robert, we're short on time. What do you think?
Oh, I think that's absolutely. Because since 9/11, I mean, the upsurge in zombie literature and zombie movies has just, you know, quadrupled.
So it shows that people know that the world is not secure, it's not safe, bad things can happen to them on a massive scale.
Yes, Yeah, and the chaotic world that we live in. And zombies are, you know, it's chaos. I mean, it's pure chaos. I mean, you know, with vampires, you've got beings that can reason.
Right. Also, I like the one of our previous callers, Martin, brought up that vampires, I can also throw in werewolves, is actually about sexuality and trying to deal with the awakening of sexuality. It's very internalized. But the zombie threat is an external threat. And, you know, I just think that these things mean something. When society takes hold of something, they run with it, and it just propels our imagination that it's not just to be categorized as fluff and insignificant, but it means something. So I want to thank Robert Weiner. He is a professor at Texas Tech University for, he covers this topic. All of our callers for indulging me in our discussion about zombies, what it means that we have zombies so prevalent in our literature, in our society, our culture. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for listening.
The Source is a production of Texas Public Radio. Paul Flav produces the show. Oversight is provided by TPR Program Director Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR Web Editor, and production assistance comes from Catherine Dixon. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.